today's international report, we go back to Ukraine, where the conflict in the east of the country has claimed some 13,000 lives, a quarter of them civilians. That's according to the United Nations Human Rights Monitoring Mission in Ukraine. Although Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko called on in February for the UN Secretary General to draw up options for a peacekeeping mission in eastern Ukraine, civilians as well as military personnel continue to be wounded or killed on a daily basis. With the first round of the presidential elections taking place this Sunday on March 31st, voters in eastern Ukraine are mainly concerned with the ongoing conflict in the region and to find a candidate who can finally put an end to it, as Philip Warwick reports in this final five-part series.
Walking the streets of Kramatorsk in eastern Ukraine, some 50 kilometers from the front line, one cannot miss the large number of billboards with slogans of various presidential candidates. One of them just recently met in Moscow with the Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. It's no surprise, as the eastern region is historically associated with pro-Russian voters and was a stronghold of Viktor Yanukovych, the Ukrainian president who fled to Russia during the revolution of 2014. Kramatorsk local Marina Vodolaskaya is a single parent and works in a family business. She doesn't think much will come out of these election polls.
I think for the region, I don't have any hopes or expectations. My only hope is for not escalating the conflict more. Basically, I hope that Ukraine, after these elections, will not stop the war in a way that will be beneficial for Russia.
For Russia, the conflict is a useful form of leverage in its regional geopolitical interests. But Marina believes Ukraine should continue to build a strong relationship with its Western partners.
About Europe, for me, yeah, it's important. I always supported this way, this EU integration. I hope that it will be continued. For me, it's obvious that this way is right, just because to compare Russia and most of the European countries, it's obvious that, you know, Russia is not the best in terms of level of economy and level of life, and also level of freedom, which is quite important for me as well.
And as a parent, Marina says the region's stability is paramount in making key family decisions.
Now I feel like it's also important for me, because I want to know what will be tomorrow with me and my child, especially taking into account that my parents, they're getting older, and maybe in some not really distant future they will need my support and help, and so I need to be ready for that.
With the presidential elections taking place over the weekend, Marina says people here in the eastern regions hope for fair salaries and affordable food and clothing. This view is shared by Oleksiy Savkevich, an entrepreneur from Avdiivka, a city 5 kilometers from the front line.
I think that many people, what they don't like about the modern authorities, about the modern president, it's about the prices which grow a lot. Utilities, yeah, the currency exchange rate for euro. So if we look at these parameters, surely people became poorer compared to the period of Yanukovych.
The city of Kramatorsk is a hub for national and international humanitarian NGOs. One of them is Responsible Citizens, a Ukrainian NGO run by Olga Kosse. The organization provides help to the most vulnerable in frontline towns and villages. Olga says there have been little positive changes in recent times.
Unfortunately, we haven't seen any positive changes over the past few years. This conflict continues to have many different layers, as fighting continues on a daily basis in areas where civilians still live. People are wounded or die from conflict-related injuries, such as from shelling or from landmines.
Children's rights advocate Helena Rozwadowska has worked on the front line for the last 4 years. She's seen thousands of children grow up with the war at their doorstep. How does their reality differ from other children who don't have to live in the shadow of a conflict?
Oh, it's a very difficult question. We never know how it will be in the future. We never know. Sure, for sure, it's affecting them a lot and in a bad way. So, sure, they are growing up in a reality where they have to know where they can go, where they cannot go, what is the main risk, how to secure themselves if they see, if they hear the shots, how to react, how to continue studying while the war just behind your school.
But could something good for the people of Eastern Ukraine come out of this presidential election?
I hope that war will finish, but all what we see in now, that it's very easy to start a war, but it's very difficult to finish the war. And basically, it's impossible to finish a war, because even if the motors will get stopped tomorrow, the war will continue to live in the heads and in the hearts, because a lot of killed, a lot of broken families and broken futures.
Broken futures that Ukrainian authorities do not seem to be making a priority. Editor-in-chief of Realna Gazeta, Andrei Dikhtyarenko, says there are no engaging messages from Kiev's central government to remind people in the eastern regions and non-government-controlled territories that they still consider them as Ukrainians and not forgotten by central authorities.
What I think is one of the worst things is that Ukrainians who have remained behind in non-government controlled areas are now getting messages from the authorities in Kiev to the effect that you are our citizens, we remember you, we are waiting for you, and we don't have any ill feelings towards you.
With the war in its sixth year, fatigue has also set in among the population in eastern Ukraine. What they want is a sustained peace. But whoever wins the presidential race will run a country that continues to be at war with Russia. Philip Warwick, VRFI, Eastern Ukraine.